Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself at home. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. And boy, we have got a good show today. I always think we have a good show, but today I'm extra excited about what we're going to discuss. We'll do our Give Up Worry for Lent daily reflection. In addition, we're going to look at the gospel from today's Mass. And then I have something I want to share with you that I think is really good. I really think you're going to enjoy this. It's an insight about Lent, and it's based on the gospel from today's Mass. And it has to do with the notion of seeing is believing, but more importantly, believing is seeing. Huh? That sounds intriguing, right? So we're going to talk about that, and this is an insight. I'm going to share something that I read in one of my favorite Lenten devotionals. I'm going to share that with you because I can't take credit for this. It's a really good idea, and it's a really neat concept. And I want to give credit to the author of this, to the person who came up with it, you know? So that's what we're going to talk about on the show today. So settle in, make yourself at home, put your feet up if you're able to, just relax, and let's hang out for a while and talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Lent. Let's walk together through the Lenten season. You know, we're only in the first week of Lent. And don't get overwhelmed. This Sunday will be the second week of Lent, or second Sunday of Lent. And we got five of them. So we have five Sundays during Lent, and then we have Palm Sunday, and then after that's Easter Sunday. So we've got a good amount of time, and I tell you that not to make you think like, oh man, how am I going to make it through all of these weeks of Lent, but to tell you that we still have plenty of time to work on getting better, to work on, or to let the Holy Spirit lead us to where we should be during Lent. And I'm also going to give you another secret today, something that's going to help you in your Lenten journey. It might make it a little easier on you. Because let's face it, we can use all the help we can get because we want to try to get as holy as we can. And it's hard. For people like me, it's not easy. It might be easier for you, but for me, it is not easy because I've got a lot of attachments. I've got a lot of imperfections. And I've got I got a lot of work to do. I don't know how else to put it. So again, you might be better off than I am. So just let me share these things with you, and hopefully it'll give you some hope and some insight as to how you can make this your best Lent ever, the best Lent you have ever had in all of history, 2021. That should be our goal. Every Lent should try to be the best. So with that in mind, let's pray to our Heavenly Father today. Prayed to Jesus yesterday. Let's pray to our Father in heaven today, okay, shall we? And I invite you to join me in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, I know that you are with us right now. I know that you can see us. I know that you can hear us. Father, I know that you are pleased when we come to you in prayer. Father, I know that you are all-powerful, that your will is unstoppable. If you want something to happen, it will happen. If you want somebody to be cured from a disease or an illness of some kind, they will be cured. You can do anything you want. And I know, Father, I don't need to tell you that, but I need to remind myself of that fact before I pray. So knowing that you love me, knowing that you are all-powerful, knowing that you are listening to me, I can pray with confidence right now. And Father, I ask you to help us all on our Lenten journey. Help us to draw closer to your Son, Jesus, and ultimately closer to you. Help us to move away from anything that is hurting our relationship with you. Help us to love you more. Help us to have a greater desire to do your will at all times. Father, we lift up our friends, our family, we lift up ourselves. Please provide for all of our needs this day. We offer up all of our suffering, Father. We ask you to unite any suffering that we are experiencing or will experience today with the suffering of Jesus, your Son. And please use it for good. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Please give me the words to speak on this show, because I know you have a message for us. So please let me know what it is. And Father, please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, and our Lord and Savior. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, there we go. Thanks so much for praying with me. You are listening to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. And quick reminder, tonight is going to be that live Give Up Worry for Lent talk that I'll be giving for the Catholic Information Center, which is based in the Diocese of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I hope you're able to sign up, and I hope you're able to sign up for it, and you're going to be able to participate. I'm excited about it, especially when all of my talks for Lent have been canceled, my live talks. I'm doing a few virtual ones, but all the live ones have been canceled, so I'm glad that I'm able to at least speak virtually. So hopefully you're going to be able to do that. For more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. I want to let you know also that as of, I guess, last night, Amazon had the books, Give Up Worry for Lent, back in stock. And it looks like it kind of went out of stock again. They've got a very strange system with their inventory. I know it drives my publisher crazy. But from what I understand, they're saying that the book will be in within a week. So you can still order it from Amazon if you want to get it. And look, it's not too late. If you want a paper copy of the book, it is not too late to order the book. We're working through some of the reflections here and in my daily emails. And then once you get the book, you can supplement that. So I would say go ahead and order it if you want. And then you can always use it for next year too. But if you want to get it immediately, you can order it directly from the publisher, which is Ave Maria Press. So that is orderable from them as well. And I want to thank you. If you have bought the book, I'm very grateful. Thank you for your support of my work. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? Let's look at the Give Up Worry for Lent verse today. And I talked about this on EWTN Radio this morning on the Sunrise Morning Show. These are the words of the Blessed Mother at the wedding of Cana. It's from John chapter 2. And you know, if you haven't read the account of the wedding of Cana recently, take some time to read it. It's in the second chapter of John's Gospel. I think it runs from verse 1 to 11. It's not very long, but it's really powerful. And the verse I chose today for Give Up Worry for Lent is John 2, verse 3. When the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." This is a great reminder of how Mary operates. If you notice, the wine is gone. So the people have a great need. And the only person who can fix the problem really is Jesus, because he can create the wine. They need wine. They don't have it. The wine is gone. It's not like the wine is running low. The wine is gone. So they got a pretty serious problem here. Not having wine at a wedding reception is a big deal. But if you notice, Mary doesn't try to strong-arm Jesus. She doesn't insist on anything. She simply brings it to his attention. The wine is gone. She didn't tell him how to fix it either. She didn't say, "Look, Jesus, I got an idea. They got some water. Maybe you can miraculously turn that water into wine." She didn't do that. She just said, they have no wine. She presented a need to Jesus. Now, we could debate the question as to whether Jesus knew this in advance. At one time, I used to believe that, well, he's divine, he's God, so he knows everything that is about to happen. But we got to remember, too, and in reading about this and listening to what other people have believed about this situation, Jesus emptied himself and became man. So while he retained his divinity, there's no question there. It's possible that he allowed himself to be unaware of some experiential matters, such as the fact that they did not have any wine, so that he could more readily identify with us as humans. I mean, he felt pain. He needed sleep. He was hungry and had to eat. I mean, again, he's divine. That doesn't mean he had to do these things, but he voluntarily chose to become human and to experience some of the same stuff that we did. So it is possible that Jesus was unaware that the wine had run out. And again, it takes nothing away from the fact that he is still divine. He's a divine being. He's human. He's fully God, fully man. It just means that he temporarily allowed himself to be deprived of certain knowledge that he would have to learn. Again, I'll use that word experientially, through experience. And the church has not ruled conclusively either way. So I've read accounts where some people said, yes, he might have known, others that he might not have. You know, we don't know. But the fact of the matter is this. Jesus could have performed that miracle without being asked by Mary, but he chose not to. And if you notice, Mary didn't really ask specifically for him to do anything, but she just brought the matter up to him. But obviously, he felt that there was a request made. And that's when he made his comment, and I'm going to paraphrase, "What has this to do with you and me? My hour has not yet come." There's a difference of opinion there. No matter how you look at it, there is a difference of opinion, and it's almost, now listen, bear with me here, because theologically I'm on shaky ground here, but it's almost as if, and I say I'm on shaky ground because it's hard for me to describe this in language that does it justice, okay? It's hard. It's hard to explain this in appropriate language, but it's almost as if Mary changed the mind of Jesus. And again, that is something that he could have allowed himself to do or to experience, to be in a position where he would almost rely on new information to make a decision. Being God, that would not be possible because God knows everything. Again, I'm just giving you an overall description of what it seems like. And it seems like Mary changed the mind of Jesus. Now, let me get back to more solid, I mean, not that that's theologically incorrect. It's just, you got to be careful when you talk about stuff like this, because this is important stuff. And doctrinally, I want to be sure that I say the right thing. The church has always taught of the power of Mary's intercession. So now that I said that, what I just said, that it appears that she changed his mind, to put it in more theologically accurate language, Mary interceded on behalf of the bride and groom at the wedding, and Jesus responded very favorably to that intercession. So what we can take from this, or the lesson we should learn, is the biblical evidence for Mary's intercessory power. In other words, when the Blessed Mother speaks to Jesus, he listens. So if she intercedes on our behalf, it makes a difference. All right, so what did I write about in Give Up Worry for Lent? I wrote about the importance of asking Mary to help you. Remember, as Catholics, we do not believe she has any divine power. She is a human, but she is high status in terms of human beings. I mean, she's right up there as the Mother of God, and she's referred to that by St. John in his Gospel. During Lent, when we are trying to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because really the Holy Spirit is responsible for any positive changes that we are able to make during the Lenten season, we just are cooperating with the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit. But oftentimes, and I know I have this problem and I struggle with this, I don't want to go along with what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do. Even though the Holy Spirit tells me, and even though the Holy Spirit is giving me making it easier for me by giving me grace, I can be so stubborn that I don't listen. And so there are times when I don't make the spiritual progress that I probably should make. The church teaches that Mary's intercessory power is very great. Jesus gave us Mary as our spiritual mother when he was dying on the cross. So it's a really big deal. My theory, or my idea that I express and give up worry for Lent for this day, is to ask Mary to help you to make this Lent your best Lent ever. To ask her to intercede for you that you and me may be better and more willing, better able and more willing to hear the Holy Spirit and to cooperate with the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, it makes sense, too, because Mary is often referred to as the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So she's on good terms with the Holy Spirit. Why not ask Mary to help you? I mean, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And I don't want to be judged one day. And I hope this isn't too fire and brimstone-y, but I think it's an accurate statement. I don't want to be judged one day and have Jesus say to me, "Why didn't you ask for help?" You know, it's one thing to mess up, but it's a whole other thing to mess up and to give in to sin and not have asked for help. I would rather at least availed myself of all the help that the church provides and then mess up rather than not try and mess up. You know what I'm saying? So here's what I recommend. Ask Mary to help you on your Lenten journey. Don't worry about the wording. Blessed Mother, Mary, please help me. Help me to grow closer to Jesus. Help me to be transformed into the image of Jesus during this Lenten season. Help me cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit. However you want to say it. And ask her to help you. Now, I recommend you do it every day. Pray a Hail Mary. Or use whatever words you want. And just ask for her to intercede for you. Just like she did for the bride and groom at Cana. And then go about your normal business of trying to follow Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit to help you, and then cooperating with the grace that the Holy Spirit gives you. That's what I recommend. So I just think it's important to recognize the great intercessory power of the Blessed Mother. I mean, you know, I pray for you every day, and it comes from the heart, and I really am praying for you. But the Blessed Mother is in heaven in a much better position to get the ear of Jesus than I am. You know, we ask each other to pray for us. Why not ask Mary? And again, this is not a radical teaching. This is what the church has taught from the earliest, for the very beginnings of the church. Okay? All right, so let's look at the gospel now. Let's look at the gospel from today's Mass, and then I'll read you a little reflection, okay? This is Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 32. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." Now, let me summarize what Jesus was saying. It sounded pretty tough, didn't it? Essentially, what he's saying is that, and the first reading, I'm not going to read it, but the first reading was about the people of Nineveh repenting when Jonah was sent by God and said, "Look, repent, or the Lord's going to wipe you out." So essentially, Jesus is saying to the people, just like Jonah called the people of Nineveh to repentance, to turning back to God, which, remember, is kind of the whole meaning of Lent. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, and believe in the gospel. Remember, that's the message of Jesus, and we heard that on Sunday. But Jesus is saying, I am greater than Jonah. I am the Son of God, and I'm calling you to repentance. Again, those words that he said on Sunday, but you're not listening to me. And then he said that this generation seeks a sign, but no sign's going to be given because you're not going to believe it anyway. And that's the message. And that's where I wanted to get to this whole idea of seeing is believing. And I think this is something that each one of us really should take a look at internally and ask ourselves, do I really want to believe in the power of Jesus, in the invisible kingdom? Do I really want to believe it? And if so, even if I saw a miracle or I prayed for something and I got exactly what I asked for, am I willing to recognize that that is a direct answer from Jesus to me and give him credit for it? Or do I just brush it off as a coincidence or one of those things and never give him credit? Because I think, and you know, it's a tough question. It's a tough question for us, tough thing to look at, because we've got to be really honest with ourselves. And I think we do that a lot. We pray for a particular need, and all of a sudden it comes about, and it might not be as dramatic as we would like. You know, my wife, I've talked about my wife's battle with anxiety over the past several months. Well, she's been healed, but it wasn't an instantaneous, dramatic healing. But we were praying for her healing every day for months, and gradually the Lord healed her. Now, I could look at that and say, well, she just tried real hard and she got better. But I know that that's an answer to prayer. And Eileen does too. And we thank the Lord for it every day. But I think our disposition, our willingness to believe, even though we don't see, is critical when it comes to this process. So let me share this with you. This is not a very long reading, but let me share this with you. There's this book. It's called Lenten Lollipops, which is a really hokey title for a book, but it's a really good book. This was written, 1976 it originally came out, and it's out of print. It's by, you know, a local Vantage Press. I don't know who the publisher is. Came out in 1976. And it is, like I said, out of print. Father Francis Boylan is the author. And he was a priest of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He died, I think, in the 90s. And I think if you check, you could probably find a copy of the book on eBay, or maybe Amazon has an older copy, a used copy of the book. Not a very big book. How many pages is it? It's 50 pages tops. Oh, actually, no. 70 some pages, but it has a series of daily meditations for Lent, and I believe I've read it before in years past on the program, and it's really good. The Father Boylan has a unique approach. He comes up with some really good insights. Let me read what he has to say about this gospel, because I think it's really good. The title is Seeing is Not Believing. Seeing is believing, so they say. But like many common sayings, it's a half-truth, and a dangerous half-truth. Consider our gospel. The crowds ask for a sign, some miracle, as a condition for their belief in Jesus. Jesus replies, this is an evil age. It seeks a sign. Now you might question, and this is me talking now, you might question that, is it wrong to ask for a sign? And not really. It's okay to ask for a sign, but he's going to answer the question here. I think what he's getting at is our internal disposition, our reason for asking for a sign. Am I asking because I'm suspicious and I need to see something miraculous? Or do I really want to believe and I'm just looking for confirmation to make sure that I'm on the right track? Back to the book. Why was it evil for them to seek a sign? Because seeing is not believing. They had already seen him performing miracles and they did not believe. Would one more miracle have convinced them, or 100? Or even the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was in the whale for 3 days, he, Jesus, would rise after 3 days? No, the crowds only wanted to be entertained, and all the miracles in the world will not convince a person who has no desire to believe in the first place. Seeing is believing is a half-truth at best. Often the opposite is closer to the truth. Believing is seeing. Yes, the eye does not control the mind as much as the mind controls the eye. We see what we want to see. Two men look at an American flag. One sees the symbol of the greatest country in the world and is filled with patriotic pride. Another looks at the same flag and sees it as a symbol of imperialism and class privileges and is filled with disgust. Seeing the stars and stripes is not believing in our country, just the opposite. You must believe in America to see the stars and stripes as old glory. The same is true about religion. The man who believes in religion sees all the good in it. The man who does not believe in religion will see nothing but things to criticize in it. Remember, believing is seeing is just as true as seeing is believing. Isn't that good? So, it's time for a gut check. Do I really want to believe in Jesus Christ? Am I really giving him a chance? And through faith, if we pray for an increase in faith and have the right motivation, we can get to the point where even though we are praying for a miraculous healing and it doesn't appear to be happening, we can still continue to believe, trusting that God's timing is perfect and that he can do all things. So I think that's a really good reflection on today's gospel. And again, the book is called Lenten Lollipops by Father Francis Boylan, Boylan. If you want to pick up a copy on, if it's on eBay or maybe a used some used book site, it's well worth it. And throughout Lent, I might read from it again. All right, I'm looking at the clock. I got to run. Hope to catch you tonight for the live Give Up Worry for Lent Zoom virtual presentation. If not, I'll be able to catch you tomorrow, God willing, right back here on Following the Truth. Don't forget to check out my website for more information about my work. And remember that I'm praying for you. God bless you. Have a great night. And I look forward to being with you tomorrow. See you.